If you're a guest with us this morning, we are almost done a series in the Heidelberg Catechism. If you're saying, what's the Heidelberg Catechism? It is a summary of the Christian faith. It is something that our tradition holds to. It's written into 52 Lord's Days, or 52 questions and answers. Growing up, we usually did one every Sunday evening in the service. And over those 52 weeks, what you got was a summary of all that the Bible has to teach us about faith and about practice. And so this morning, we come to a section of that on gratitude. And we're going to dig into God's Word, and we're going to read that, for that's where the Catechism finds all of its teaching, by reading from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Hear the word of the Lord. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Mount Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face, out of the fire on the mountain. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so you may live long, and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land or male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are the commandments of the Lord, proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain, from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness." And he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on 2 stone tablets and gave them to me. When you heard the voice out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leaders of your tribes and your elders came to me. And you said, "The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire today. Today we have seen that a person can live even if he speaks with God. But now, why should we die? The great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. For what mortal has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the fire as we have and survived? Go near and listen to all that the Lord God, your God, says. then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey. The Lord heard you when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Go tell them to return to their tents. But you stay here with me so that I may give you all the commands, the decrees, and laws that you are to teach them to follow in the land that I am giving them to possess. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Have you ever wondered where gratitude really comes from? I mean, I have met people who have it all. They have exceeding wealth. Their family is perfect, or it appears to be perfect. They seem to have life going for them well all the time. And yet there was something about their generosity, their kindness, their unpretentiousness, that you were around them and you would never know that they really had it all. And they were the first ones to freely bless whoever was around them. And then there was another person that I know. The world was always against them. It was unfair. Everyone else was privileged, and you could hear the violin going all of the time. It wasn't fair, it wasn't fair, it wasn't fair. And then I think of a family who's struggling. They seem to have illness after illness. An illness that plagues them for all of their life. And yet they seem to be the most peaceful, the most caring, the most compassionate people that you know. Compare that to the family whose life has gone well almost all of their life, but then one small thing happens, and it's the end of the world. It's not fair. Why did this happen only to them? Why is it that some people are able to express gratitude and others aren't? Came across a story that I want to play with for a moment this morning. I want you to imagine this morning that you have a cottage, and you go to this cottage. Now, it's much like the cottage that I go to on my minister's retreat, and it's bigger than my house. And you go there, and you go there with your kids and your in-laws, and you are there for the summer. And you are going batty after a week. It is noisy. It is cramped. And you wonder how you're going to make it. Now, you go to a wise person, and so you go to your pastor, and you say to him, what do I do? He says, invite your parents to come with as well. So your parents truck down to the cottage, and they move in, and you just can't wait to get out of the cottage. And you say, what do? I'm going crazy. It's noisy. There's no room. Oh, invite your sister-in-law and brother-in-law and their kids up as well, and come back to me in a week. And so you do. And you're pulling out your hair. I'll invite your sister over and invite their kids over and let them bring their dogs as well. And so you do, and you're now 1 month into summer. And then you hear it. I've had enough. Everyone, get out. If you're smart, not your wife, not your kids, and your in-laws can stay. And then, as everybody's gone now 3 weeks into summer, man, it's so quiet and it's so peaceful. there's a perspective, isn't there, on gratitude? Contrast that story to Sammy. Sammy lives in downtown Toronto. She nestles in at a corner where there's an old stone church. And there every morning she sits and she smiles and she says good morning in her old shabby clothes. And everyone drops in a few coins. She's been there for years. And then one morning she arrives a little late and all the regulars stop and they pause for a moment wondering where she is. And then as she comes, they all have their coins ready to give her. And she says, I don't need anything. In fact, I found a job. Somebody else had already moved into her spot. And then she says, let me give something to you. And there she began to give to all those who were on that street a little Ziploc bag of toothbrush, deodorant, toothpaste, and a coupon for them to go to eat at the local mission. It changes the story. Gratitude, giving thanks, I want us to get that this morning, is a big deal. If you've read through the Heidelberg Catechism, you will realize that two-thirds of the Heidelberg Catechism is all about why we can be thankful. Two-thirds. If it's a big deal in the Catechism, it's obviously a big deal in Scripture. Think of it. Two-thirds of the Catechism begin to talk about the glorious riches that you and I have in Christ, that talks about the redemptive work of Jesus for you and I, that we may be saved, that we may be forgiven, that we may have hope. It is the words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's of John 10 in the Good Shepherd. It's the Philippians 1, that he who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself and took on a form of a servant to death for you and I. It's the story of love and of grace. I want you to think about that this morning. When we look at all that's going on in the story of our lives, what do you have to be thankful for this morning? You can be thankful in this life because you will have the free gift of complete forgiveness forever. You never have to merit justification or trying to make yourself right with God by obeying a bunch of rules. You will have all of your real needs provided for by God. You will receive grace in all time that you can abound in every good works. That God who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. You will be raised from the dead and you will never die again. That means that someday soon you will see Jesus and you'll be like him. In that day, you'll know full and unpolluted joy. You will be free from all of corruption. You will have God forever as your exceeding joy. If you want to check how your relationship is with God, check out how thankful you really are. Check out the gratitude level. Because the natural outflow of grace is thankfulness. That is what God is calling us to. That's why I love the law, because the law is not something that we do and we follow to merit our salvation. It is the response to a gift that God has given to us so freely and so generously for us to enjoy. But isn't that one of the hardest things to do, is to give thanks? The Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you. James 1 says, every good and imperfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shadow due to change. You don't need to be anxious about anything. But in prayer and petition, we can present our requests to God. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquity, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And here's the catechism. How are these commandments, that's the Ten Commandments, divided into two tablets? The first four commandments teach us how we ought to live in relationship to God, and the second has six commandments teaching us what we owe our neighbor. League and Our Ministries does a good job here. They remind us that we often think from a fallen perspective. Think of the passage that we just read. Isn't it interesting how God, at least from a human perspective, seems to do things backwards? One might say, I'm going to give you these Ten Commandments. If you're obeying them, then I will lead you out of slavery, and then I will lead you to the promised land. But God gives the Ten Commandments after Israel is led out of slavery so that they would know how to live in the land that the Lord their God is giving to them. Notice what he says. I am the Lord, and I will bring you from the yoke of the slavery of the Egyptians. What did Israel do to merit their release from slavery? Absolutely nothing. Isn't that the same thing in our story as well? Catch what he says. I will free you, this is Exodus 6, from being slaves, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, and with my mighty acts of judgment, I will take you as my own. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I am the one who brought you out of the yoke of Egypt. I will bring you to the land that I swore to you with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession because I am the Lord. Gratitude has a lot to say about how you and I view God. I want you to think about that this morning and think about this law that God had given to Israel. I want you to see it differently. Here you are. You have done nothing, but you have just been released from slavery. You have done nothing, and yet you are going to be led to a land flowing with milk and honey. You have done nothing, and yet God says, you are going to be my people, and I am going to be your God. Jump ahead, because Matthew has a summary of the law after the time. And we did nothing to merit forgiveness. We do nothing to merit our salvation. We do nothing to merit our relationship with God. And God graciously and lavishes grace and forgiveness in love on our life. Now he says, as my people who have been given the greatest gift in all of the world, here's how you should live. And so out of thankfulness, picture what you have in the first two statements. If it says, God, I am so thankful for grace, my life is going to be dedicated to you. No person, no possession, no idol, no job, no bank account is going to get in the way. My life is going to be all for Jesus. You will be the number one priority that I will set my eyes on. And it's my desire to live wholly and wholeheartedly for you. You will alone be the one who will guide the path and the direction of my life. Watch how that changes everything. Because not only am I going to not worship something else, not only am I going to seek after my affection from someone else, but I'm also going going to watch my words. Because my words and my action and my lifestyle says what I believe about you. Because here's the amazing thing. Our words and our witness is a reflection on our Creator. And so when our words and our actions honor God, it gives a witness to the world of grace and action. And I'm so thankful for grace, that this being together with God's people is going to be a priority. Because it's here, as you and I gather and we remember the Sabbath, that we take time to be with God, that your soul can be replenished, that you can be refreshed, that you can take an hour and break away from the busyness of life. And with God's people say, this is so important that together we want to be the people of God. It's going to revolutionize your life. But then he says, as you make God the number one priority in your life, when it's all for Jesus, it's also going to affect our witness to the world. That honor our father in our mother is not just for young children, but it's for you and I who are a bit older as well. And we think of parents that are aging, that may need more time. We show gratitude as they have told us the story of faith, as they have invested in our lives, that we're so thankful to God for his abundant gift, that we realize the orderly structure of the family, that as young people we will honor our parents, and as older people we will honor our parents, and although the role changes, gratitude is going to be played out in the way that we have relationship with other people. We read it here, do not murder. But Jesus would use the words, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Show gratitude in your relationship with others by using your words to build up, not to tear down, to encourage those who are bullied, maybe at work or even at school, to build up and to uplift. Allow your speech and your conduct to be one that edifies. Allow your conduct to be one that's seasoned with grace. Here's one where I learned something this week. When it says gratitude plays out, when it says do not commit adultery, gratitude plays out in being faithful in our relationships. But it's not just our marital relationships. It's in our spiritual relationships. But I like how Steve Rodriguez in Devotion from Words of Hope said this. It's about cultivating a rich ecosystem of Christian friendship, a spirit-filled environment where faithfulness and mutual love eliminates even the desire for infidelity. Anytime you commit yourself and each other to showing faithfulness and integrity, you're living with inside of the goodness of the commandment. We show gratitude by working for what we have, by seeking our neighbor's good. We show gratitude by using our words to speak truthfully, by rendering judgments that are good and are true. We show gratitude by being content whatever our circumstances. What does gratitude say about us this morning? Because I want you to picture, God has spoken to Israel. They send Moses to go back and to hear more. And they said, we're going to obey whatever God says. Moses, we just can't handle it. You take care of it. You tell us what God says, and we'll do it. But what happens just after the law is given? Do they rejoice? No. Do they say, all for Jesus, or all for God, all for God? No. Did they begin packing and say, I'm going to follow? No. Exodus 6 says, they don't listen. Because of their discouragement and their harsh labor. When Exodus 20 happens and Moses comes down from the mountain, do they listen? No. Do they say, I'm ready to go? No. They're worshiping a golden calf. But gratitude from the true deliverance seen in Jesus, where we receive this undeserved gift of God and of grace, changes everything. But cultivating that heart takes a lifetime. But it begins here. Jesus, it's all for Jesus. I'm going to worship God and only God. He alone will be the source. He alone will be the one that motivates and moves my life. And watch how day by day, if you make that commitment, how it's going to revolutionize how you think, your thankfulness, and how all of the other commandments just seem to begin to fall into place. Thankfulness, gratitude, is the one of the most powerful expressions. I hope this morning that as we hear God's word, for some of us as we have a small group this week on this topic, that it may begin to think a little bit differently. If 2/3 of this teaching is about how we live out of grace, how we live out of gratitude, I think God might have something to say. And watch how, as churches, we release the attitude of gratitude because of grace. And we go into the schools, we go into our workplace, we go into our communities, we go into the sporting events. And people begin to see the change in us of being thankful in all circumstances. The chain reaction that will have in our community. And how the story of grace can be told through our lives. Thanks be to God for the gift that he's given us in Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your law. Your law that is not meant a something to restrict or to tie us down, but actually to set us free. And Lord, we thank that we can take these words, or as Matthew would write, Lord, to love you with our heart, our soul, our mind, and with our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself, as a response to your grace. And we thank you that day in and day out, you lavish your grace on us. Day in and day out, Lord, we strive to walk in your way. And day in and day out, your grace picks us up. Your grace reminds us of your forgiveness. Your grace encourages us and spurs us to holy living. And so, Lord, may in this coming week, may we find new and incredible ways to be thankful. Because while we were yet far from you, Paul writes, you came near to us. And you drew us to yourself. And you forgave us. Lord, we pray that as we seek to live that out, that, Lord, it would seem to impact every area of our lives. We think of that in the programs that will happen this week for our young people, for the small groups that will happen either this afternoon or this coming week, for our partnership in ministries like with Phil and Jeanette in Tanzania, as we partner with the deacons. In a little while, as we give our financial gifts to spread your love and your grace around the world, as we feed the poor, as we clothe the naked, as we stand for injustice. That, Lord, together as your church, we'd fall more in love with you every day. So, Lord, we ask you to help us to be those people who say, Lord, I give you thanks. I give you thanks in all things. For you have forgiven me. For you have secured my forever. And that one day, I will live with you and there will be no more sickness, no more sadness, no more sorrow, and no more death. But until that day, I'm going to sing your praises. Because for Jesus, for Lord, for us, it's all for Jesus. We want nothing less, oh God, as your church. And so by your Spirit, sweep across your church, not only here, but across the world, where those whom you have called will stand up and claim very boldly, I want Jesus and nothing else. In your name we pray. Amen.